thinking what to write back to this devotee. I don't know what I write back, but what I would write back now is, see, for the finger, it's best to be connected with the body itself. It's really not a good use of independence if we cut the finger away and, you know, throw it on the nice marble floor before Mangala, you know. It wouldn't be good for the finger, and you wouldn't even like that, isn't it? No. It would be just so horrible. And this is, sometimes devotees say, oh, what kind of independence do I have? If I don't use it properly for Krishna, then I'm in the material world. What a poor choice. This is not very good independence, you know. I would like to, you know, can't I have independence? It's just, you know, float in the sky a little bit, you know, around with my independence and, you know, have a good life in the sky, something, you know. No, but we are made like this, constitutionally, like the finger. It's part of the body. We are part of Krishna. When we cut ourselves away from it, it becomes a horrible thing. Isn't it, Mangala? Very horrible. I mean, don't forget it immediately, otherwise you'll get a nightmare this evening. You know, the finger crawling towards you. Will you marry me? Please marry me. You know, what a misuse of independence. I mean, it's even so absurd, we don't even want to go deeper into this with our morbid fantasy. So, when Krishna sees the living entity going away from the spiritual dimension, Krishna becomes very sad. And then Krishna thinks of how he can save us without, and this without is a very important without mixing into our Svatantra. He doesn't just take it away from us. Krishna makes the arrangement, he manifests the Vedic scriptures. He comes as the spiritual master. And he also is with us as the super soul. In these three forms, the Lord comes into this material world. The Holy Scripture, the Guru, and the super soul. And the Lord watches very carefully, very patiently. And when a living entity develops due to some fortune, some sukriti it is called, some benefit, I will talk a little about this a little later if you do have a question regarding this point, then he brings us in contact with the Shastra. And we read and read, and oh yeah, and something begins to make sense to us. Very good, oh yeah, everything is explained so nicely here. And this is really relevant for me. And if this is about Maya, yes, I also have seen Maya in my life. As a fact, there is Maya sometimes. And in this way, the living entity becomes a little bit educated. And then Krishna makes a second arrangement. He sends a dear devotee of his, the spiritual master, and the living entity sees him, feels attracted, asks questions, tests him, and finally he comes and asks, please accept me as your servant. In this moment, the devotee will, Guru will look very carefully in the heart of the disciple. will look very, very carefully. One question was there by one Boris from Hamburg. At which point does the spiritual master recognize this my disciple? The real point he looks for is Svatantra. Is this devotee wanting to give his independence to Krishna? A little while ago, some years ago, I heard how one aspiring disciple of one spiritual master wrote a very nice poem expressing this without much philosophical knowledge, but with a deep intuition. He said, I'm standing before you, Guru Maharaj. I know I will have to offer my independence to you. But I am, I'm trembling because I know I will have to give it. But I don't know if I can give it. You know, it's like, you know, like this, you know, when you want to give it, something away which is very, very dear to you, and you don't really want to give it, but you have to give it, and you don't want to give it, and you don't. Sometimes, many devotees, we are all disciples, and I think we all can speak as disciples. I will include myself into your category here in this respect. It's a struggle sometimes. Sometimes one wants to take it back. Can't I give you something else, you know, that my Indian. Do you want a little good donation? Or do you like to eat something nice, you know, or maybe some extraordinary. I will do some extraordinary service, a marathon, but after that I want to make holidays, please. This giving up of our Svatantra to our spiritual master who will give it to Krishna is the clue and crux of spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada used to say that when he was addressed about his spiritual success, so to say, he used to say, if I have any credit, it is that I surrender to my spiritual master. This is, and he meant it. He didn't say it for our instruction or for the instruction of his disciples. But of course, this is a mighty step. I don't know if I would now say to any one of you, please give all your independence. And we will put it in a box and put it at the lotus feet of Radha Kunya Bihari or Radha Gopinath or Radha Madan Mohan. You would not be able to take it back. I don't know who would come forward. At the same time, I know that all those who were in, if I would have asked that at the initiation fire, can you give just a little thing? Yes, everything, Guru Maharaj, what? I want to be initiated. Just, not even very significant. You have not thought very deeply about this point, which I will ask you. You know, because we never really think about Svatantra, independence. Sometimes it comes up, but we forget it. It comes up when we say, you are too independent, Prabhu. You should surrender more to your temple president. You know, then we may think about independence for just a second. But it's very, very much in our life. And then I would have said, it is, you know, I don't want to make a big thing out of it. Just give your independence. Sure. You mean you wouldn't initiate me otherwise? I'm sorry to say, you know, we represent the Sampradaya here. It's a Sampradaya of surrender and want to surrender in independence. You know, okay. What's my name? It's a difficult point. Now, don't think that the Lord doesn't know this. there is a process whereby which we can become more and more ready to give this independence. And the process is very simple, expressed in one word. It's a process of purification. Everything we really do in Krishna consciousness is for purification. When we are pure, we are attracted to Krishna like a piece of iron is attracted to the magnet. If we are not pure, we are not attracted to Krishna like a piece of iron which is covered by rust. If we purify the heart and if we chant offenselessly our rounds, spontaneously we will want to give our independence. Have you ever seen this after a good chanting? Maybe if you could concentrate yourself in the Nam Yajna, have you felt a little bit like, almost, if I would say it in modern ISKCON terms, I would say ausgespaced, spaced out, a little bit, what to say now, how to do now, you know, should I go to bed or not, a little bit disoriented. What has happened is you have become purified more than normal. And you don't act according, your psychology has been purified. You have to readjust yourself. Sometimes it's a little bit painful. Oh, something is missing here. Yes, your false ego is a little bit messed up. This happens. Sometimes you see transformations, like one of my disciples, I don't want to embarrass him, when he came, he looked like death personified when he came to the Nam Yajna, and I thought he will be the first one to leave. But no, he became bright like a sun. I had to keep looking at him without him noticing it. You know, because such a transformation happened in the heart. It's easy to surrender if you are pure. It's impossible if you are covered. So easy. We have heard it all the time. It's not a new point, but it's a good point. So, dear devotees, only in the human form of life can you give your independence to Krishna. Only here you can use your free will to do this. It is described in the non-human form of lives. This is not possible because the consciousness is covered so heavily that there is no real point of purification. I've only heard about one dog who made it. That dog was a little sick and went to the kirtan in Mexico. And in the kirtan, he became extremely joyous and he jumped and then died. Bang. And that dog, every devotee, they all went around him and said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. You know, the last kid, and it's very moving when you are there around someone who's just leaving the body. And because they knew he would go back home, back to Godhead. But if he would not have died in the kirtan, the dog would for sure have gone back and sniffed at all impossible places, eaten impossible food, and done things which we will not mention in the Bhagavatam class even. Because material nature is just too powerful in his existence. In the human form of life, we have this possibility to use our independence properly. Now, if you want to make a little experiment in going back home, back to Godhead, after all, we joined already, nothing else to do, really. Please remember two things. Always be willing to be purified in your life. Know how you can do this. There are many things you can do it. And here, I do not want to explain it. This is something for you to think about. You should, after all, use your independent will. I will not give you any made answers for this one. Find out how you can be purified. What works in your case? Maybe make a list of these things. The second point is everything is made for purification. Find out how you can be purified. And yes, the second point is more, it's not such a deep point really, it's something for the human psychology. Make little steps of surrender. Every day just get into the habit of doing something. Maybe giving something away which is dear to you. Maybe doing a service which you would not do. Maybe controlling your mind at a time where you usually don't control your mind. This is called make baby steps of surrender. To make the big step is not always possible for us. It needs to be practiced. However, if you want to go the fast way, then get into a kirtan. Get into chanting the holy name offenselessly. Just remove everything which takes, this is the first point again, which stops you from surrendering and allow your consciousness to be attracted to Krishna because it's purified. That's the lecture. I want to say a few words to Narottam Das Thakur, and then we have maybe the greatest, we have a very, very pleasant and sweet surprise for all of you. It's working? Everything is ready. Yes, the surprise is ready. You will not leave your eyes and ears. So, but it will be a surprise, it means it will not be said. But it is. In Narottam Das Thakur, he is a prime example of surrender. He has written a list of songs called Pratana. Sri Pratana prayers, which are the jewels of all Vaishnavas. Let me just say something short. Narottam Das Thakur was a prince. When he had his birthday celebration, the richest people and kings were invited and came there. And do you know how they were invited? His father, Krishna Chandra, wrote the invitation on gold plates. The gold plates, they were engraved. Dear Singhena Sena, we would request the joy of your presence at the birthday celebrations of our son Narottam.
This is how rich they were. There were thousands of guests. They just could give away gold. So, his father noticed an attraction of the boy for spiritual things, and therefore he never allowed him to take bath in the Ganga, because he felt if he comes in contact with Ganga, he will be too spiritually surcharged. He dug an extra lake for him to play around, so that he would never even think of going to the Ganga. They were situated near to the Ganga. His father put the best teachers, but he tell them, don't tell them about, Mahaprabhu and such, such things. He is supposed to be the next king, and it's dangerous. I can see in his face. I can see from the prophecy. He can become the greatest world renouncer. But to make a long story short, Narottam Das Thakur, one day after obtaining the prema dana, the present of love, which was stored by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Mother Ganga, after obtaining this, just escaped through the roof of the palace and went to Vrindavan. And there he had a divine vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came dancing towards him. Mahaprabhu had left already his earthly pastimes. He came dancing towards him at the bank of the Yamuna. He fainted there. This was just when he arrived in Vrindavan. He had a darshan of Gauranga, and he fainted, and he was shaken after some time by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami had goose pimples of ecstasy on his back, because he knew this must be the prince, Narottam, who will be the greatest preacher of the Vaishnava literature, Vaishnava tradition. Yes, so he took him under his care and educated him, but he would not. He directed him for initiation to Lokanath Goswami. Now, Lokanath Goswami was an extremely akinchana Vaishnava, no possessions, nothing in this world, totally transcendental. He was very old, and he had made the vow to never accept a disciple. Narottam Das Thakur, for 1 year or 2 years, begged him, but there was no way. During that time, he served Lokanath Goswami in a very, very, very surrendered way, giving up all his designations. What he did is, he cleansed the place where Lokanath Goswami did his noon duties. Nature call and bathing. He even made a pathway, and he always hid. He was never looking at. First of all, he did not notice that whenever he went to the place, it was spotlessly clean. He did not notice anything, but after some months, see, his consciousness was not with this external perception. After some months, he noticed. He thought, it must be someone who is serving me. I have a bad feeling. How can someone serve me who am so deen? Deen means fallen. So then he decided, he began to think very deeply. So one day Narottam Das Thakur, who had been sitting and waiting in the bush until Lokanath Goswami would go back to the cottage. Then he saw Lokanath Goswami disappearing in the forest. And then he went to the place and did his cleaning service, very conscientiously praying to the Lord, to Lokanath Goswami, please accept my service. If you won't initiate me, at least accept my service. Without you serving you, I'm nothing. And all of a sudden, he felt a hand on his shoulder. He looked around and he saw Lokanath Goswami. Why are you serving me? You're not allowed to serve me. Who said you can serve me? Never come back here. Go, go, go. No, I will not give you shelter. I cannot. I'm too fallen. Lokanath Goswami went back to his cottage. Then Narottam followed him like a little dog. And then he buffeted himself. He threw himself before the lotus feet and said, please accept, please don't kick me away. Just allow me to do service. Give me initiation. And then Lokanath Goswami was very moved. Was fighting with himself. Then he said, take your bath in the Ganga, in the Yamuna. The Yamuna, not Ganga, the Yamuna. Shaking, the prince was shaking. He took his bath, came back. Then Lokanath Goswami brought him to his deity's Radhavi note. And he took a lotus leaf from the lotus feet of Radhavi Noji, gave it to Lokanath, to Narottam. Eat this. The deities will accept you, and I will guide you. Swami said, but it was initiation. Narottam just was happy and happy and happy. And he got further trained by Jiva Goswami and then began to preach Krishna consciousness. And I really would like to read now for the end two poems of Narottam Das Thakur. One we have sung already. This is called Nityananda Nishtha, Firm Faith in Nityananda. Please listen to this very carefully. At that time we didn't have this translation. The lotus feet of Nityananda are compared to the soothing light of millions of moons. The shade of these feet relieves the suffering of the entire universe. Oh, brothers, without Nityananda, one cannot approach Sri Radha and Krishna. Therefore, take firm hold of his lotus feet. Those persons who have no relationship with Nityananda have spent their lives uselessly. And it goes on, but we have heard it. Then the next verse is called Gauranga Nishtha, Firm Faith in Gauranga. O brothers, and sisters, worship the feet of my Lord Gauranga. I have neglected this task and am thus sunken into the poisonous well of material life, experiencing the five miseries, namely lust, anger, greed, illusion, and pride. My heart is burning day and night in the venom means poison, of material life's threefold miseries. As such, I have become totally unconscious of my body. Being controlled by the enemy of the senses and forgetting the feet of Lord Gauranga, I have turned away from such a great treasure. Giving up all shame and fear, Let us all take shelter of merciful Lord Gauranga with all our hearts. Lord Gauranga has uplifted the most sinful persons and turned them into purifiers of the fallen.
Fasten the great dancer Gauranga within your heart, that is, capture him in your heart. Doing this, what harm can death do? Narottanda says, no one is as great as Lord Gauranga. Though I have not worshipped him, he still allows me the treasure of his love. Then he also Radha Krishna Prana.
Yes. Looking at the translation of the top.
Then he has written a very nice song called Sakhi Vrinda Vidyapati. Radha Krishna Prana Mora Yugala Kishore. The divine couple, Sri Radha and Krishna, are my life and soul. In life or death, I have no other refuge but them. In a forest of small kadamba trees, on the bank of the Jamuna, I will seat the divine couple on a throne made of brilliant jewels. I will anoint their dark and fair forms with sandalwood paste, scent it with chuya, and I will fan them with a chamara whisk. Oh, when will I behold their moon-like faces? And he then mentions other services. I just can give you a little example. And he ends his collection of prayers with something which is so mystical and so poetically that I just need to read it to you. Tonight, there is a torrent of nectar pouring over Vrindavan. All of the residents are floating in pure love of God, which is being showered by deep, dark clouds. The Krishna cloud. Sri Radha's playful movement has created the lightning. The slippery path of divine love is crooked and filled with musk and sandalwood and red paste. In every direction there's nothing but a pure ocean of love. Narottanda's is sinking in this ocean and does not know how to swim. That's how he ends his Prarthana song. Very, very wonderful. Narottanda's Thakur ki
jai.
Do you have questions regarding these points?
What is the surprise, Guru Maharaj? What is the surprise? It will come, it will come.
Yes, Dinanath.
I'm just wondering how a living entity gets opportunity once when it's fallen to the material world to perform some pious activity by which in the next life can meet devotees or progress in spiritual life.
Yes. Tina wants to know how a living
once a living entity, the question is like this. Once we have fallen, we are bound by the law of karma. We do a material activity, it creates other material activities and a desire for future enjoyment. Karma. And then you again do. So how can the, and then you are in the wheel and you are strapped on the
wheel of birth and death, which moves by the force of your karma. So, how then can the what is the divine interference? The divine interference is sukriti, or some benefit which is given to you. There are three types of benefit: kam, unmukhi sukriti. If you come in contact with something where you do good, where you get good karma, then you get future material enjoyment and deva bhoga. You can enjoy like a deva. In other words, there are certain activities which bring you to good karma. If you come in contact with them, even unknowingly, you are on the path of karmic elevation. Then is jnan unmukhi sukriti. You come in contact with a certain benefit, a certain activity, which you may only do unconsciously. Like, for instance, you come before Mother Saraswati and you have just bought apples and you fall and one apple rolls to the altar and Saraswati accepts it, you know, or something like this. And you get jnana in future existence. But then there is the bhakti-unmukhi sukriti. That is that you, even in an unknowing way, come in contact with devotees of Krishna and do some type of service which will elevate you to future forms of devotional service. The classical example here is Narada Muni. He didn't invite the four Bhaktivedantas to his house. He was surprised. They knocked at the door. Can we live here for the Chaturmasma period? And his mother, you know, you never say no to a sadhu, said, yes, there'll be a little narrow space here, but if you, this room we can supply. Good. And then Narada Muni, he was a little boy. You are 13. He was around 6. Half as old, baby, like young, very young. And he just brought the prasadam, you know, the food, and he cleansed and so on. Like these little boys who jump around here, you know, they are also around. Are they around 6 or must be?
7, 8
even. Yeah, around this. Like a little boy. Maybe we get to see little boys today again, you know, then we can compare. They don't do something with the plan, they just follow, you know. It's nice for them. And by this service, he got the bhakti-unmukhi sukriti, that benefit which brought him eventually to be the great Narada Muni. So the wandering devotees, preachers like all of you, who go around this world blessing the poor conditioned souls, like Chaitanya Singha goes to the sweeties and everywhere in America, all over America you drive, isn't it? Yeah. And from a little Croatian village, a wandering mendicant gives bhakti-unmukhi sukriti, the books. Read this, my dear sweetie. It's sweet. It's sweeter than the sweet. Then in this way, the persons who have come in contact will come to future and further contact. Yeah, even if they see your animatrix they will be impressed, and by this being impressed they will listen carefully. They may hear the word transcendental ecstasy that might remain with them, and then there is an impression, this will create future
devotional service.
It seems like it's
often
living entities are getting this opportunity to perform this unknown
this Sukriti, yes.
And some are don't. I mean, because both of them are on the same level, they're just bound by karma.
Why do some living entities get this opportunity and some don't get it? It is again related to Svatantra. The Lord gives his Kripa Shakti, the mercy Shakti, to his devotees who want to distribute it everywhere. Now the devotees know, I cannot go to the demons because they will misuse their independence and go, ah! Only in one case, like, I clearly have signs of the Asuric bath. Sometimes it works. If the demon says, I don't make ah, I listen first. But the devotees go all over the world. They are present everywhere. And then when the living entity comes in contact with them and gets the Kripa Shakti, then it's up to him to use or misuse it again. Now in areas where the devotees do not come, I mean, Mahaprabhu wants to go everywhere and the preachers are almost everywhere. I hear in Greenland the folks are there and so on. I can't imagine a spot which is left. If there is a spot, we could maybe make the next Nityananda's appearance day there. That will be in the mood of Nityananda. That will be really in the mood of Nityananda. Don't forget that the super soul is always there with the living entity. If he sees, he is using his independence, he is asking proper questions. Even if he is a wild man and throws himself before the flesh in the jungle, please protect me, O great one. It's already a step in the right direction. And then the super soul makes the right arrangement. So Kriti, to make it very short, is given by the devotees and therefore become a preacher. You want to become dear to Mahaprabhu. And then it's up to the living entity. The innocent take it, the demons don't take it usually. But sometimes even a demon can take it. Like Jagai and Mata. Hare Krishna. I really feel, it's a little, as a lecturer, you feel that you're tired, it is natural, I cannot, But maybe, Taraka, we just give a fresh supply of oxygen to everyone. Then, I know it's the end of the festival is approaching. Yes, anyone else?
In how far was the decision of the boy in this tribe or others really conscious of what role played in intelligence?
The boy Narada Muni, you mean?
No, the boy.
Yes, he was not, he was just doing it, imitating. And when it came to a time when he had to do it on his own, he failed the test.
But on what level was his devotional service?
It was, Krishna accepted it. but he did not really make the conscious decision. This is very true. I have now a teenager disciple, and we have talked very often about this. The devotee has told me, I feel it's coming. I need to make the conscious decision that I want to surrender to Krishna. And she has made the decision. This is really what it comes up to. Unless and until each one of us, you know, either makes a decision, or we have to renew the decision to consciously want to surrender to Krishna, then our service, we have not really used the most precious thing which we have, the independent free will. We could make an experiment. We could, for instance, what do you think what would happen if we would put Madhu Mangal in the desert Sahara? We would put Mangala where? To Greenland. With enough food. And for 10 years. We would put Chaitanya Singha in the Grand Canyon? No, there are too many diversions. There's so many tourists coming. Some unknown place, Rocky Mountains in America, with supply 10 years food. And then we would come after 10 years and see what has happened with you. If you would be a devotee, and you know, would chant Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, Hare Krishna, nothing else than to chant, you know, we would know he made it. He made the decision. But if he would come to that place in the Rocky Mountains, or to the place in the Sahara where Madhu Mangal is, and we would find a bear, a bear you will have anyways, you know. You know, like this. But he would say, Basel, Basel, the cinema, the newspaper, I know, to drive in this Swiss, in a real Packard Swiss train from Basel to Zurich. I would give my life. He would see you would have still many material desires, and if you would, maybe you would have stopped chanting. You know, we have to see when there are so many around us that we do under group pressure. I have one devotee who does; he will even disobey his spiritual master if the group wants something else of him. Under group pressure, we do a lot, social pressure, and so on and so forth. I must say, because I see the devotee's eyes looking at me, it's not so bad. I'm giving an example. You must not do things because the others want it. You must not do things because you can get something. You must do things because you want to surrender to Krishna and serve Krishna. When you come to this level of devotional service, then Krishna takes your service much, much more and relishes it much, much more, because you have given your independence to Krishna. You have given your free will to Krishna, not to others. Madhu Mangal with his smile. Yes, what can we do for you? I think it is. Thank you, Dr. Arka.
Challenging what you say now, one should make a test because
No. But theoretically you can do it. See, the best place to make business, to speak practically, is at the stock exchange, the Börse. You can make business at the Börse, you won't believe your eyes. There are some devotees who can inform us about this, the gold rain of the stock exchange, you know. There's one devotee, wonderful devotee, who may... anyways, that's the place to make business. So if you want to make advancement, or if you want to have music, you go to these musical people. If you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, the best place really is with devotees, or having association with devotees. Therefore, we should apply it, or go to devotees. A little while ago, a reporter asked me this about community life, and I said, I think there is a great help, but there is also a great temptation, Versuchung. The temptation of any community is that the community members don't think on their own, because everything is done by the community for them. They're like bees who act according to the bee swarm. They, without questioning, adopt values and thoughts and so on and so forth. And when they are not in the community, they are lost, because they have nothing inside. They have not cultivated anything inside. So I think the most clever devotee is who lives in a community, or regularly visits Vaishnava communities, or regularly has Vaishnava association, and at the same time cultivates his own independent desire to serve Krishna. Then you have the best of both. Why make a test which is dangerous? You might miss the test, and you might not have the additional help of devotees. I think you know it also as a Krishna conscious Grihastha. Sometimes one just needs to see devotees. And when one comes from a festival home to the apartment, it's different. One has, it's easier to practice Krishna consciousness. Therefore, this is the main reason why in Germany we have called the Bhakti Branch Program, or Bhakti Cell Group Program, the Bhakti Sangha Program, because Sangha is so helpful. Mahaprabhu even said, you can know a devotee by that he associates with other devotees. That's one symptom. The prime symptom really is that he chants Hare Krishna. Yes.
As a parent of children, can you give me some, I'm listening to this and I'm hoping that my children are just following me, and that when they do finally end up on their own, that they'll exercise their free will to go completely away.
Yes. How can you help them that they will make the right decision? Yes. Now, I'm not a good educator. Whatever I say, I was never a father in this life. But I have very strong thoughts about everything, and also about education. I have seen this in the example of one devotee who educates her children, and I thought, I watched this for a few years and got an understanding. I thought she did a wonderful job in child education, because she made it clear to the children from the beginning. She educated them to do things independently. It starts with the children to go on their own to the bus, to go on their own to the school, to get them a bicycle that they drive and so on. Not that you drive your child every time to the school and so on. I think that is common sense. But it can go further. Give the children projects. Let them cook something, even if it tastes horrible in the first beginning, you know. Just maybe keep the salt out of reach, you know, let them cook something. Let them do things and learn things without doing everything for themselves. Let them also make mistakes to learn. But be careful. Prabhupada said, gave us a little insight how he educated his son. His son, he said, wanted to grab into the ventilator. And he just wanted to grab into the ventilator. It was so absolutely fascinating, this turning thing. And what Prabhupada did is, finally, like the concerned father, he knew, if he is now not making the experience, when I am not there and catching his hand, he will go with his whole hand and make it bloody. Blood will come, yes. So then what Prabhupada did is he took the hand of his little son and very carefully brought it to the ventilator. Ah, Papi, Papi! You know, and the ventilator just made a little, but not on the full hand, just a little on the finger. And he, and he had learned the lesson. Now Prabhupada knew the child could be sitting next to a ventilator all alone, and he would and have a polite distance to the ventilator. That's something on the material side, what I said. Now on the spiritual side, I think it's important for parents to let their children maybe have deities. This is our tradition, Parikshit Maharaj, the little child worship deities. Now it's not everyone's cup of tea, I think you say in Wales. It's not everyone's cup of tea. Every child's cup of tea to worship deities, then find something else. Maybe a sandbox where they can create Vrindavan with the Yamuna, or fantasy. You have to ask the great teacher fantasy how to encourage them, and let them, in other words, let them do baby steps in doing something for Krishna. It somehow maybe increase the desire to do something for Krishna. This is my little answer. By the way, when you are a spiritual master, the disciples, you have to do the same thing. Education is the whole same thing. Sometimes you also have, he has to grab into the fan, it just doesn't go any other way. Sometimes she needs to be encouraged. Is there not something you could do, something you would like to do? Maybe you make your own private nectar book, you know, where you write nectar slokas. Maybe not. Maybe something else. Think, is there something, a project you could do? And then next day, the disciple, oh yeah, you made me thinking. I have this talent. I want to learn to dance for Krishna. Okay, yes, do it. And so on. Hare Krishna. I'm feeling a little bit our time is really going over. Now we want to see the surprise. Please let the surprise come. Oh dear surprise, do you hear me? prize is shy, it seems.